Welcome to this ASI cast, where we consider what are the most likely future developments to be expected of media currencies. Richard Marks, our research director, discusses with GfK's Vice President of Media Measurement, Stefan Herremans, the conclusions drawn from a roundtable discussion convened by GfK and involving players from all sides of the industry.
Well, welcome to the latest ASI cast, and today we're talking about media currencies, and specifically the possible or likely future of the GICS. And we're really going to be talking about a recently released white paper on the future of the media currencies that was conducted by GfK in conjunction with some of their clients. It's really a fascinating read, and we'll include the paper in the show notes for this episode. So if you haven't already seen the document in question, you can catch up. But we're going to talk about some of the highlights now. So welcome, Stefan, to the podcast. Thinking firstly back to the original roundtable discussions that you had with your clients that formed the raw material for this project, what were the comments that most surprised you initially? What were the most important insights that kind of challenged your own views going into the project?
Yeah, there were actually a few, Richard, and maybe to give a bit of background, because one of the things that was first surprisingly, like you indicated, we had several people at the round table, which means that there were digital platforms there, global ad agencies, media owners from TV and digital. There was a programmatic platform in the room, and there were also an advertising agent associations, and even GICS were at the table. And so a first surprisingly thing is if you put people of these different backgrounds together on a round table, then you actually expect very different outcomes or disputes that are going on and discussions where the future should go, right? Because we try to aim the ball, where would we be in 5 years' time? And one of the first surprising things is actually that we came up with three clear scenarios that actually all people at the round table were agreeing to, that that are the three directions that it could go. And that was a first surprise, I think. A second thing is naturally, and that what came often up, is that and the metrics are changing a bit. And we should not forget that there is already longer an evolution going on from reach metrics to impact metrics. And if you look then today, how currencies are in the market today, then it's more about reach, right? And there is a long way to go to do then to add the impact metrics in there, certainly if you would be looking doing that out of a joint industry committee, where you don't really have to make a step forward. And maybe a last thing personally a bit, what I found out is that a lot of people in the roundtable were talking about the data they own and how they can combine it with each other. And what was surprisingly for me, certainly with the current evolutions like GDPR and so on, that a lot of people were actually forgetting that in the end, the consumer is owning his data. And I guess that in the next 5 years, we will also see consumers taking control. And I think the industry sometimes forgets that and who is actually owning the data and what if the consumer starts commercializing its own data.
Yes, we had a panel at ASI a couple of years ago called Whose Data Is It Anyway? And to your point, I think someone made a very good point from the audience. Well, ultimately, it is the consumer's data. However much people talk about Facebook data and Google data and audience data, it's the consumers who are providing it. And GDPR, as we discussed on our last podcast with Chris O'Hearn, is going to helpfully shift the balance in favor of the consumer in terms of how their data is actually being used. So it's a useful insight. You mentioned there that there were three likely scenarios that emerged, and that's really, I think, the core of the document that you put out, talking about those three scenarios. Can you quickly summarize which each of them are?
Yeah, I can sure do that. And let's maybe start with the most exotic one, and that is where actually all of the technology that we see emerging today and would actually start regulating the market. And what do I mean with that? There is naturally everybody today is talking about blockchain and was wondering, okay, could we do something with blockchain on the level of media measurement? And then there were actually two things that came above on the table, which were interesting scenarios. And the first one is where we actually see that blockchain would start regulating the whole business at the moment for media. What do we mean with that? And we all know that on the digital side, for example, Mark Burchett from P&G was stating that there is totally no transparency. And we also know that between an advertiser and a publisher or broadcaster, there are a lot of intermediate parties that all take a part and of the cake towards them. And you could imagine that blockchain, which is actually a technology to really put firmly an agreement into place that everybody should stick to, that maybe that would be an enabler there to create more transparency. That is one thing about blockchain. The other could be what we just discussed about what if consumers start using or somebody enables consumers to use blockchain to actually put their data available and that they could state, I'm interested in these and these information and content and I'm interested in these advertising and that everybody should stick to it. Their blockchain would be used or enable and the consumer taking power. So that is one exotic scenario where we see new technologies coming up and where we all wonder how should we embed them in our media measurement approach.
So effectively that scenario you might argue is the most extreme and it's the furthest from where we are at the moment.
Yes.
Where you've got and we could spend a whole podcast on blockchain and we may well do that because it's coming up in so many conversations, but effectively what we're talking about here is blockchain or whatever the technology enabling almost effectively a decentralization of the currency.
Exactly.
Where effectively the centralized points of aggregation almost disappear and everyone's chipping in their own data to a decentralized spread, almost sort of hive currency where it's almost running itself. So
exactly.
That's kind of the most extreme one. The two other scenarios were which?
Yeah, the second one you could say is that there is actually a chaos going on because today there is a lot of order which is organized by the joint industry committees, but there could be chaos coming and if more walled gardens are coming up. So we all know that at the moment EdTech and MarkTech enables really a lot and that we are back to the one-to-one marketing, which actually the butcher 100 years ago already was doing in his village is now enabled for bigger players and bigger retailers. And that would mean that you see these walled gardens and increasing because we naturally know the global players on that level, which is the Google, Facebook, Amazons and so on of this world. But you also see a lot of local initiatives at the moment. And I'm thinking then of Verified Marketplace in the UK, where different players come together and actually create their own data integration and their own walled garden. So this would be a chaos of different walled gardens that each have their own KPIs, their own way of looking at things, and that are competing with each other on the level of data and so on that they have. Why do we call it a bit chaos? Because for an advertiser, it would be very difficult then to find its way through this, right? Because all of these walled gardens are separate from each other. They have their own KPIs and how to find your way, which would maybe enable for agencies in the world a more important role in the future again to navigate advertisers through this, right? And then actually a third scenario and is where the role of GICS is changing a bit. Today at GICS are, you could say, the guardians of media planning. If we want to do very decent and very correct media planning, then we use actually the information that GICS are gathering. But you could imagine that the high quality that we see today in what is in this planning environment should actually also be enabled to be available for the other walled gardens, for example, or be enabled for programmatic. And that's where maybe a GICS in the future would play a role of how do we integrate that data actually with what we are doing, and that they are actually becoming the guardians of data quality. And so in that sense, and GICS would be joining up and with some of these walled gardens that we already see to get the information in, which means that at the Joint Industry Committee data gets really enriched by this. But that also means that actually there is transparency around the data that is coming out of the walled garden. So that is where Super GICS are enabling to get that data in. But the second thing about Super GICS, which we also see today, is actually that cross-media is becoming important. So this Super GICS would not only do that for like TV, because it would directly be total video, but you could also imagine even that it's not only video, but also about audio and also about text, and that things are coming together again.
I mean, what I liked about the white paper was that it effectively laid out these three scenarios, but it didn't have a particular agenda to push in terms of which one was the most likely. Often when people talk about the future of currencies, they've got a particular bias or agenda that they're pushing. Here, that the report lays out those three different scenarios, but doesn't necessarily say which one is most likely. But I'm going to put you on the spot personally. Yeah. What one do you think is most likely?
For me, it's always, and that it's naturally a very straightforward saying, it's never black or white. And personally, I see the three scenarios moving along and actually also ending up with the three together. And depending on the country, one of the three would be prevalent, you could be saying. But let's take it, for example, the super jig, right? And the super jig is where suddenly a walled garden is joining the jig. And we see that already happening. We all can think back of the NIST ASI conference, where we saw YouTube and AGF together at stage. So I can imagine that this is going to happen more in the future. But you can also imagine that while this is already sometimes complicating and the agreements that need to be made, that getting a second walled garden on the table is not always straightforward. And so I can see that in the future, the super chick would be existing and that some walled gardens would join the party, but that some other walled gardens would stay out of it, which means that you have a mixed mode on that level. And then I think that is what I would see happening in most countries and actually in the most advanced countries first. And what I think then is with the third scenario that maybe would be going on a separate route that would be developing, for example, this consumer power where I see the first things happening already, but where it's rather about protecting the consumer and not about enabling business that they would make with this data, right? And I think that's a bit of a separate scenario. So I think it's a combination of the super chick with still some walled gardens that try to be separated from it towards the future.
Now, you talk about JICs, and obviously that's the default system in most countries, but there are quite a number of proprietary services around, like Kantar in Latin America, Nielsen in the US, in China, for example, in Japan, where they're effectively run as proprietary services. Do you think there's a slightly different scenario likely to play out there, or will they kind of have to amend how they're organizing themselves?
We actually see the same thing happening there, right? How this data gets integrated, and maybe taking one step back, and there is, and what we said, that there are evolutions going on, and there is for example, there is a programmatic world and there is a currency world, and actually we see these things conversing to each other. Now, if it is organized by a joint industry committee, then all parties around the table need to agree to the way forward. If you have a more syndicated approach, then sometimes as the research organization, you can enable things yourself a bit faster. And what do I mean with that? If I look, for example, at GfK itself, we already have our cross-media link panels where different media is coming together. Actually in several countries rolled out, right? And in some countries, this now could become part of what is going into the currency, for example. But with these things, we are already connecting it to programmatic platforms and so on. So I think in these markets, just exactly the same will be happening because the need from the market is the same. The only question is who is orchestrating it, right? Is it indeed the joint industry committees orchestrating it, or in these syndicated markets, as sometimes who in the end needs to organize it, who is the researcher, actually can play an active role in there then, right?
Now, it's interesting. You talked earlier about planning. There is a school of thought emerging that thinks that perhaps currencies will have a future, but that future may almost exclusively be based around planning, as opposed to the moment where they're used for both, typically for both planning and for the transactional evaluation of how a campaign has actually worked. Do you think that in the future there will be more focus just on being planning currencies, and that their role will be diminished in a world in which we've got automated trading and all that's almost dealt with automatically?
So and naturally we see programmatic increasing, right? It is expected to be in a few years about 65% of what is and how media is being traded. And we actually know with new topics, not so new topics maybe, but like with addressable TV coming up, that that would only increase. However, if we talk to advertisers, and in the end, I think we're a very important player on this table, they say, listen, we will do both in the future, right? We will do, and sometimes if we do a big review of our brands, we will plan around our brands what we want to do. But naturally, at other moments, we will be very much reacting to the market, and we were rather using the programmatic world. Now, you have to think about if that is a need of our client, right? Because it's the advertiser in the end is buying the ad space. If that is a client, the joint client that we have, and you have to think who organizes this then and who brings things together. For joint industry committees that we are today not connected to the programmatic world, it's difficult to answer that question of advertisers, right? And so you have to see how you are going to answer that one. And then actually it's quickly coming down, like I said earlier, to the researchers that actually have to enable both worlds via the same system. So today you could say these ecosystems are a bit separated from each other. What we strongly believe in is that actually these ecosystems should join forces, which means that the quality of a currency is going into the programmatic world and that the transparency in the programmatic world is increasing. But you would only build one ecosystem that connect with each other instead of having both of them. And that is always coming back to the fact that the future is never black or white, right? And you should actually be thinking, how do we enable the both forms, right? And how do we enable with one ecosystem because of efficiency reasons, how do we enable both worlds there, right? That can do as well planning as being more programmatic focused.
I just wanted to round up on the topic of metrics, which I think you referred to at the start of our conversation. I made a note to circle back to. Now, advertisers and agencies are increasingly talking about impact-based measurement, and I've heard the phrase recently, an effect currency, a currency that measures effects. However, you could argue that a growing proportion of TV revenue is actually coming not from advertising nowadays, but from subscriptions and global content sales. And also public broadcasters tend to be major shareholders in a number of the JICs. Do you think that content owners and advertisers may actually have to go their separate ways in the future with regard to currency measurement, or can they still share the same system?
Yeah, I think they should still share the same system, and I think it's very healthy that also, and all of these broadcasts and publishers are diversifying their income streams, right? And because and if you want to be a solid company into, towards the future, you have to see, okay, which income streams do I have? I don't see that subscription and so on is going to overtake and the advertising dollars that are there and where these broadcasters still would need in the future, right? So in that sense, and this will stay important, and like I said, it would not be good to separate systems from each other and to have different ecosystems, but actually to develop something which enables the different purposes that we have there, right? So indeed, I don't see it happening that both again would here go a separate route, because I think the income stream out of advertising will stay important for broadcasters in the future. It will not go away easily in the next 5 years.
No, I agree. I don't think it's going to go away. But if you take the UK, for example, I think the last figure I saw was somewhere between 60 and 65% of UK television revenue doesn't come from advertising anymore, partly because of the BBC license fee, but also because of Sky, overseas sales, franchising, etc. So it's going to be interesting, but hopefully they'll be able to share the same system for all the reasons you say. So, well, thanks for joining us, Stefan. And if we have piqued your interest in the report, you can click on the link in the show notes. And don't be put off. It is only 12 pages long, so it should take you about the length of a cup of coffee to read it. So enjoy the report. Thanks to Stefan, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thank you, Richard.